And then continue to remember Steve Richards in special prayer and hold him up. He's in Winston-Salem. And we just pray for the Lord to touch him in a special way. How many have a prayer object on your heart today? Okay, quite a few. Well, let's pray one for another. Pray for this service and ask the Lord to work and move and have his way in our lives today. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh, Father, it's so good to come into your presence. It's so good to know, Lord, that you have chosen to ask us to come and to pray. And, Father, as we come and pray, Lord, you have also chosen to hear. And, Father, we know that if you hear our prayers, that you move to answer our prayers. And so, Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving for what you're going to do in lives, for lives that are going to be touched in mighty ways today. And Father, we give you thanksgiving for that. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work. And Father, I pray for the McCoy family, just Randy and Rita Berryhill and just their families. Hold them up, comfort them, bless them. Continue to bring that great comfort. And Father, also for those today that have special burdens on their heart. Lord, you saw the many uplifted hands, those that have a special prayer request, a burden that they're lifting to you. And Father, we come in agreement and asking, Lord, that you would just work and fulfill your will, that you'd be glorified. And Father, that's what we're asking for this service. We pray that you would speak and work, draw men and women to yourself. Lord, if there's someone here that's never been saved, may they see it today and desire to come to Jesus. And Father, maybe there's some that have been visiting this church and Lord, today they feel led to come and be a part of El Bethel Baptist Church. We pray that you would draw them to make that decision. And Father, we're going to thank you for every good work that you do. Again, thank you for being our God and choosing to be with us. Lord, we love you. And we ask this now in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, it's kind of neat how the Bible's arranged. When you turn to the Old Testament, all the first and second books are together. And so you have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and if you find one of those, you move to the left to get to the one that's first, which would be 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to be preaching all this month, the month of May, on some of the great women in the Bible. And then in June, I plan to preach on some of the great men in the Bible and give us some special challenges in that way to be men and women of God who love God first and make those choices, sometimes hard choices, to honor God and do what he wants us to do. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand as I read. And I'm going to start down at verse number 9. Hannah and her family have gone to pray. And if you'll notice down at verse number 9, the Bible says this. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for being the Almighty God. Father, we thank you for being the God who can do anything. Lord, there is nothing beyond your power. And so, Father, it is a great privilege for us to come to a God who is almighty and ask request and ask you to work. And, Father, you know we have this time that we call this time of worship. Lord, we want to focus on you. We want to hear from you. We want your word to speak to our lives. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help us to put away some of the cares and things that fight for our attention, and, Lord, that we would truly focus on you. And, Father, I thank you for this great example of Hannah being a woman of prayer. And, Lord, may it challenge all of us to examine our prayer lives, Lord, to see if we're really spending time with you and we're making it time that's productive. And, Father, again, we lay all this at your feet. May you be glorified in this service. Draw men and women close to yourself, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been said that the husband is the head of the home, but the wife is the heart of the home. Isn't that true? The wife is the heart of the home. Someone else said the wife is the thermostat of the home. If there's a problem at home, things may be a little cool in there. Or it may be a little hot, whichever way the problem's going. But to realize that the power that God has given you as ladies, as women in the home, the important role that you play. I thank God for the way that he is able to work in and through our homes. And I want to show you today that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. These women that we're going to be looking at in this month raised children that changed the world. Whenever my mother-in-law hears that somebody's expecting, she says, Oh no, I don't want a child to have to come into this wicked world. And I told her, I said, I have just the opposite view. I said, my view is this. Oh yes, there's a chance. Maybe this is going to be the child that's going to bring change in our world. Because if you'll notice, every time God brought change into the world, he brought a baby into the world to bring about that change. And of course, the greatest example is his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his son to come into the world. And you know, God could have easily just made him a man. I mean, he created Adam and Eve and he made them full grown. He could have made Jesus full grown. But he brought him into this world as a baby, so that Jesus could experience everything that you and I experience. We can't say, well, you don't know what it's like to be this age. He knows what it's like. And he understands and he cares for us. It is important for us to know that God wants to work in our homes. He wants to work in the lives of our children. And mothers, I just want to share my heart with you. One of the greatest ways he works is through teaching you to become a woman of prayer. We don't have much about Hannah's background. In fact, it's interesting, the name Hannah means gracious. And if your name is Ann or Anna, you're named after Hannah. Those names come from Hannah. And so here we see this unique woman. Her name means gracious. We don't know literally about our parents, but we know that somewhere in our life, God put deep within our heart this truth about prayer and the power of prayer. So I want us to look at some things about how God can use us. And number one is the truth to begin raising our children before they're born. Begin raising your children before they're born. Sometimes I've had parents of teenagers come and talk about discipline. When should I discipline my child? And I want to cover my head up and say, it's too late. You should have started 13 years ago. When they're little, that's when discipline begins in the home. And not only that, but listen, it comes even before they're born. To learn how important that is to bathe our children in prayer. You see, the story of Samuel's life, and Samuel is one of the greatest prophets to ever live, but the beginning of his story starts before he was ever born. His mother, Hannah, had this strong burden to have a child. And for some reason, she wasn't able to have a child. It says that the Lord had closed her womb. She was unable, but yet there was in her heart this continued burden. God, I want a child. God, I'm desiring that you give me a child. And so she began to pour her heart out to God. Now, it's interesting to me in the Bible how many times children and the birth of children are related to prayer. Related to prayer. In fact, in answer to their prayers, Abraham and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. I'm sure no one wants to wait till they're in their 90s to have a child, but that's the example we have, Abraham and Sarah. I guess God really wants us to know that nothing is impossible with him. Rachel, she prayed this. Listen to her prayer to God. She said, God, give me children or I die. It's a strong prayer, isn't it? She became the mother of Benjamin and Joseph. Manoah and his wife prayed, and God gave them the mighty son Samson for a child. Ruth the Moabitess prayed. She had been barren, and she prayed for God to give her a child. And she gave birth to the grandfather of David, literally putting her, a Gentile, in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is interesting. How God works. In the New Testament, we see Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who was past the age of giving birth, and they had been praying for a child, and God allowed them to have a child. So we see this unique truth taught in the Bible that the Lord is the giver of life. The Lord is the giver of life, that children really are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from God. We need more children today born in answer to prayer. I don't know how many of you heard Tisha share her testimony, but if you've never heard it, she might share it with you sometime if you ask her. But again, that was a child, little Patch. I can't think about Patch without thinking about prayer. That child came as a result of many, many prayers being lifted up. God chooses to answer prayer. But notice also, secondly, I want you to see the fact that your child is a gift from God that's to be given to God. Our children are to be given back to God. They're to be dedicated to God. I want you to notice this in verse number 11. Verse number 11, Hannah says this, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head. That's interesting. Hannah makes this prayer to God, and she says, God, remember me, remember my petition before you. Give me a child, and God, here's my promise, that if you give me a child, I'm going to give that child back to you. Now, what is it that you want for your children? You know, many times we think about wealth. Well, I want them to be wealthy. I want them to have more than I had. Many times we think about fame. Well, I hope they'll be famous. But it's interesting to hear Hannah. What is her desire from God? She tells God that her desire for her son is that he would be holy. Holy. She makes a Nazarite vow on his behalf. She says, I will never lay a razor to his head. That's what the Nazarites did. They committed themselves to be holy, and they allowed their hair to grow all the way out. They wouldn't put a razor to it because they committed themselves. That was a sign that they had committed themselves wholly to the Lord. I want to ask you, what is it? Do we desire that for our children? Do we even think about the spiritual aspect of their lives? You know, I've been to basketball games and football games. And I'm going to tell you, parents, we get behind our children in sports. You know, if they're doing pretty good, you know, I'm guilty as anybody else. Joy was on a traveling basketball team, and we went and watched her play ball and paid for her to play ball, sacrificed for her to play ball. And you know what? You look and you think, and I'm sure in my mind at one time I thought, scholarship, you know, maybe. Maybe there'll be a scholarship down the road. But you know, you do. You look and you think, and your child wants something, and they begin to succeed in an area, and you want to encourage them in that. There's nothing wrong with that, but listen, don't forget about their spiritual life. Don't forget about the most important aspect of their life, which is where they're going to spend eternity. And we need to make sure that we're doing what we can. You know, we're bringing them to Awana. We're bringing them to Sunday school. We're bringing them to church. We're doing what we can to help them come to know God and to know God's Word. That is absolutely important. In 3 John, John makes this comment. He says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. I'm going to tell you, Debbie and I, we've had a lot of desires for joy, but there is no greater request than that one right there, that she would walk in the truth. You know, the Bible's right. If a son or daughter goes wrong, it causes sorrow to your heart as a parent. But if they do right and they love doing right, they make right decisions, your heart rejoices with them, doesn't it? There's excitement there because they've made the right decision. And that's what we need to let our children know, that we are behind them. We encourage them. But more than anywhere else, we encourage them to grow spiritually. But I want you to notice, thirdly, if you will, persevering in prayer. To persevere in prayer. Verse number 12, and if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, underline that first part of that verse. Notice what he says. It says, as she kept on praying to the Lord. Well, and that's in a continual tense. She prayed, and she didn't just pray and go home. She kept on praying. She prayed and she kept on praying. She persevered in prayer. If you want to be a mighty mother for God and a godly influence in your family, then let them notice your prayer life. Let them see that prayer is something that is real to you and real in your life and important to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Never waver. You know, I believe we've fallen short of seeing many things because we give up in praying. But the Bible teaches us great truth about persevering, about asking and keep asking and knocking and keep knocking and seeking and keep seeking. And whoever does that will see God answer their prayers. Take this matter of God's will important. Mothers, commit yourself to be women of prayer. Somehow, some way, and I don't understand it, but mothers have a special hold on God. I really believe that. I saw that in my mother. I saw that in my grandmother. That truth of praying. And it's like if you asked them to pray, you saw something happen. Things happened. Things changed. A mother's prayers follow her children as nothing else can. A mother's prayers follow her children as nothing else can. But I want you to notice, lastly, if you will, the battle in child rearing is more often won or lost in the little things of life. You know, Hannah was able to get pregnant. She gave birth. It tells us there in verse number 20, she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked, and the Lord, I asked the Lord for him." That's literally what his name means, Samuel. One asked for, one petitioned for. He was one prayed for. She wanted everybody to know that this child is one that I asked for, that I prayed for, that God gave an answer to prayer. And so she named him Samuel. She named him Samuel. And then notice, if you will, how she continues. Turn in chapter 2 and look at verse 18 and following. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "But Samuel was ministering," because, see, she took Samuel and she gave him to Eli. He was a young child, and she gave him to Eli to work there along with the priest. But notice, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod." Now notice this, verse 19, and underline this. "Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice." Isn't that amazing? She didn't just take her son to the temple, to the priest there, and say, "Okay, you know, he's yours now. I'm going to forget about him." I imagine that she prayed for Samuel every day. And then when it was their time to go up and offer sacrifices, an offering to the Lord, not only did she come to offer a sacrifice, but she had been busy making a coat for Samuel. And I can just imagine the joy in her eyes as she presented her son with another coat. Here's another coat to keep you warm. Taking care of children. It's not a glamorous job, but it is an awesome job. You know, I hate it when they're interviewing people on game shows and they're asking what they do, and they come to a lady and she says, "Well, I'm just a housewife," or I'm just a mother of two children. There is no greater accomplishment than to be a mother, than to be in the home and taking care of the home as it should be. That's what God has desired of us. Taking care of children is not glamorous, but is important. Someone suggested over the door of the nursery that they could put this verse from 1 Corinthians, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's a pretty good verse. They'll not all sleep, but they'll all be changed. It's been a parent, been a mother, a difficult job, one that probably goes thankless many times. There is a mother that sat down and wrote a letter for her children to read later in life. And this is what she wrote. She said, "Someday, when my children are old enough to understand the logic which motivates a mother, I will tell them, I loved you enough to ask where you were going, with whom and what time you would be home. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover that your new best friend was a creep. I loved you enough to make you take that candy bar back to the store and pay for it. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours and teach you to clean your room, a job that would have taken me 15 minutes. I loved you enough to say no when I knew that you would hate me for it. Those were the most difficult battles of all. I'm glad I won, because in the end, you won something too." Oh, we need godly mothers. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to notice the last couple of verses in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up and let none of Samuel's words fall on the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." So God's word closes in this part of Hannah's part by letting us know that Samuel continued to grow. And as he grew in the Lord. And as he grew in the Lord, the people around him observed that he was a man of God. Well, I want to ask you today, as we look at our lives, when we think about ourselves, what is it that God would want to do in our life? There may be some here that as mothers, man, you've heard God calling you to come and move out in prayer. Listen, I want to invite you to come and make that decision. Maybe you've realized in your heart there's no Jesus. Jesus is missing. And you need to come and invite Jesus to come in and be Lord of your life. Well, why don't you do that today? Maybe God's been having you come and visit, and you know that as you visited this church, this is where God wants you to be. Well, what a great day to come today. Say, "Pastor Ron, this is where we want to plant our lives. God's leading us to be a part of this church." If that's your heart, you come today. Maybe God's laid a burden. He has stirred a fresh burden before you. And you need to come to this altar and get under that burden and lay it before God today. I want to ask every head be bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for being our God. Thank you for being present in this service. Thank you for working. Thank you for what you've accomplished. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you would bless and work. Lord, that we would now do what we need to do. Lord, maybe we need to come and pray. Maybe we need to come and make a decision. Father, help us to step out and do that. And Father, we're going to praise you again for every good thing that you do. Thank you. Thank you for working in our midst. For we ask this now in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Going to sing a hymn invitation, Tracy?
435.
Hymn 435. Listen, if God's been dealing with your heart, I'm simply going to invite you to come. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn. You come today.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb. about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God,
you to do. If not, it's not too late. You can come. Amen. I'm going to ask you to look this way. We praise, thank the Lord for His working and His grace and many things that He's doing. And we praise Him for loving us the way He is. Isn't it wonderful just to realize how much God loves us? And just to thank Him for that. Let's pray one for another. I want to encourage you to come back. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. Church council at 4. Justin, is that right? Church council at 4. And then our evening worship service at 6. So I hope that you'll come back tonight for our evening service. Our youth are going to be singing and Justin's going to be preaching. So we look forward to that. Anyone have anything on your heart? Feel like y'all to share or say before we close in prayer.
Next Wednesday, my mom is having open heart surgery.
Okay. Martha Carlson's having open heart surgery on May the 13th. So we certainly want to ask you to keep her in your prayers. I'm going to ask Larry Linhart. Larry, would you dismiss us in prayer?